My dear friends in Christ, dear believers in Christ, we have here today confirmation, assurance that your belief in Christ is not in vain. Jesus shows clearly what is to come for you. Jesus was transfigured. That's where we get our word metamorphosis. Jesus was transformed. This is confirmation of what is to come for you. A complete transformation, for you too, one day, will enjoy a glorified body, free from all sin and sorrow. You too will be as white as the light in the glory of heaven. White is the color that symbolizes purity, sinlessness, holiness. For there will be no more sin, no more sorrow in heaven. Not even a hint of sin in your glorified body. The transfiguration of Christ is assurance for us. Your faith in Christ is not in vain. You will rise to eternal glory, just as Christ is risen. Yet before the glory comes the gory. Before life comes death on a cross. For the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. For in the Gospel of Luke 2, we learn that the topic of discussion between Jesus and Moses and Elijah at his transfiguration was exactly that. The death of Christ on the cross. Before eternal glory could be won for us, payment had to be made for our sin. We think we know better. We think we know better, like Peter. Peter said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." When he learned of his crucifixion, maybe not like him in the exact same thought line, but like Peter, with the same attitude, we want the glory now. We want to bypass the cross. We want to bypass the suffering. And so God finally gives what everyone thinks they need to see and hear. Well, here it is, the great glory of God on display, unfiltered. We can be sure that it was an absolutely amazing thing to see and hear. His face shined like the sun. His clothing was as white as light. Let's not forget the voice of God too. We can only imagine what it must have sounded like to hear the almighty voice of God. Three of his disciples finally get to experience this, what we all think we need to see and hear. And what happens? They're so afraid, they all fall on their face. We can't even seem to endure what we all think we need. Not so different from Adam and Eve after the fall. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. And later Adam confessed that it was because they were afraid. But why? It was the same for Moses too, as we heard this morning in the Old Testament lesson. He sees the glory of God and he hides because he's afraid. But why? Here's the part no one really wants to hear. We can't see God in all His glory because we are sinners. It's as simple as that. We lack the holiness required. That's why we need Jesus Christ, God's Son, sent for the salvation of the world. He is the bridge between God and man, the mediator, the go-between, because He takes upon Himself our every last sin. And He makes us acceptable to the Father, so that one day soon we can and we will stand before God in all His glory, because we will be standing before Him on the basis of not our own righteousness, but the perfect life of God's Son. For whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Him will not be condemned. So the Father clearly indicates Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. The Father says clearly, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Simply hear Him. Simply believe in Him. What does Jesus have to say to us, for us to hear? He says, "Arise. Don't be afraid." There's no reason to fear at all. No reason to doubt. Jesus is all that we need. We might not have a PhD, a super high education. We might not have the intelligence that half the people in this world have, or the power and the money and the earthly glory that many people in this world have. But by God's grace, we can have in our heart what matters most: Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen. His voice, His word, calms our fears and erases our doubts. He says, "Simply believe, and you will be saved." God usually works, then, we see today, with hidden glory in the not-so-glorious-looking cross. Even the transfiguration was an example of God hiding His glory, because Jesus told the disciples afterward, "Don't tell it to anyone. Hide it until the Son of Man be risen." Even the way Jesus refers to Himself is so humble, hiding His glory. That day it was obvious that He was the definite Son of the living God, yet He refers to Himself as the Son of Man. In humbleness and lowliness, even then hiding His glory. God works with us in the same way, with hidden glory. The water, the bread, the wine, and the sacraments, we can't see God's great glory. To the world, it seems like nothing. But through them, God works in our heart and in our soul. He strengthens us and confirms in us the true saving faith. And He promises to keep us until our very last day. He says, "Simply come to Me, believe in Me, and you will find rest unto your soul." The world is looking for a much different kind of glory. that glory that can be measured and seen with the naked eye. Yet it was the night in which Jesus was betrayed that he said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. A pack of seeds that sits on our shelf does nothing. It grows nothing. Only when that seed is buried and first decays and dies is when it finally can bring forth new life. Likewise, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed and be raised again the third day before he can bring forth in us that new life in the forgiveness of our sins. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. We're always looking for that earthly glory. Yet Jesus died to give us the eternal glory of heaven. Most of the time, Jesus didn't show his great power. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. That's still how he works in you and me this very day. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. As we continue to struggle, have many trials and tribulations, let us be comforted that God is at work in us and through us in those things, hiding his glory so that we may be strengthened in the true faith by his word. The only thing that can do it for us, the comfort of his death and resurrection. We can't see it. We can't witness it. We can't measure it in a lab. Even if we could, it wouldn't do us one bit of good. Jesus says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, that is the word of God, neither will they be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus knew they couldn't handle that great glory of his that day. He knew they would fall down. So he gave them what they could handle and what would comfort and strengthen them. He gave them his word. He said, "Arise, be not afraid." Because of the sacrifice of Christ, God is at peace with us. Our sins are forever forgiven. So there is no reason to fear. He accomplished everything needful for us to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. May he then continue to comfort us, strengthen us by his word, by his sacraments, even though they aren't so glorious looking. Simple water, bread, and wine, simple words. Yet in them, through them, God's Spirit works in our heart. He creates and sustains the true saving faith in us. Dear believers in Christ, that means your faith is not in vain. Eternal glory waits for you. Your glorified body without sin is yet to come. May Jesus keep us in that one true and saving faith. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.